is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
.com, probably nominated for National Association of Broadcasters 2019 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station of the Year. And live from the Rider University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano, and alongside me today is Sean Johnson and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as...
Googs. Oh, yeah.
And as you noticed, Dom DeRosa was not... said during that little open, unfortunately, he is not with us as we record on Saturday. He is currently working at Bromvision right now, so we wish him and we miss him, and you know he'll be back on next week. However, but you know, big show today. We got a lot to talk about. First segment, topical news of the week, and you know we'll kick it off with the with what happened on Thursday, opening day. Baseball's finally back, and I don't know about you guys, but when I was like watching opening day and like. You know, that whole day in general, it just made me feel like normalcy was back in America almost, you know, just seeing, you know, seeing baseball being played, seeing fans in the stands. It felt good, you know, seeing that. And I think this kind of showed like, okay, we're on the right track, you know, to brighter things ahead as we look forward to, you know, the spring and, you know, obviously the summer. So, you know, Sean, I'll start with you. You know, what was your take opening day, just, you know, initial remarks before we dive in deep into it?
Yeah, it was pretty surreal. I mean, like you mentioned, it was awesome to see fans back in the park because, I mean, you know, watching baseball games, going to baseball games, that's half of the fun. Like, just the fans there, you know, everything going on around the game. So it's great to see people back in the park. Unfortunately, my Red Sox got canceled that day, so I had to watch a lot of other games. But, you know, yeah, it was all right.
Noah.
Yeah, you know, it was, I think it was Colorado. I saw the fans and it looked like there was just a ton of
people. Yeah, it was packed.
Like, I mean, there was not much social distancing. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is we're starting to see that it's getting better. We're getting to that point where we can start to have fans in these places. And it's cool because I know for Yankee Stadium, you have to get like a rapid test or you have to prove that you're vaccinated. So there are some measures that are being taken, at least in some ballparks, that are getting us back. But it was just, you're right. You both are right. It's cool to see that we're kind of getting back to normal and we should have a good crowd, you know, and we should be progressing as we go along this season. Cause it was a good day of baseball, not for the Yankees. And I think for the Red Sox, Sean, it wasn't great yet yesterday or Friday.
It was not.
Both teams kind of stunk up the joint, and we need wins. We need wins for both of us. So definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I mean, Sean, you know, I'll go to you. I mean, obviously, I'm guessing you either caught highlights of the game, or you're able to catch some of the action from Friday. So what were your initial thoughts of just, you know, the overall team that the Sox have together?
Yeah, there wasn't much action at all in that game. I mean. Well, we have two hits, I think.
You guys had two. You guys got two hits. You guys committed an error, and you guys got shut out.
Yeah, so our first game was definitely not good offensively. But from the mound, we did pretty well, and also defensively. Like, we looked very good in the infield, and that was something that I mentioned coming into this, that I thought our defense would be a lot better. Like, I know I was praising our infield for, you know, all of their defense that we had coming in, like out of trades and stuff, like Kike Hernandez, who, by the way, getting a little off track, did you know Kike Hernandez has the 9th best selling jersey right now?
Really?
What?
Yeah, he's above Mike Trout.
No, Trout, he's not. I remember seeing like a list about that. I'll look it up. I'm gonna try to find this list.
Yeah, my mind was blown.
Who's number one, Judge or Mookie Betts?
Betts. Which
Judge is sixth. I know that. Judge is sixth right now.
I mean, that Kike Hernandez, I would have never thought. But is it because he went to Boston? Or
it's got to be because he was Hey, he was the only Red Sox there.
Yeah, he's right. Right. These are the top 10 jerseys. It's Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, Fernando Tatis Jr., Bryce Harper, Clayton Kershaw at 5, Judge at 6, Acuna at 7, Lindor at 8, Kike at 9, and 10 is Mike Trout. And which, by the way, we do have to talk about real quickly, Lindor's massive extension with the New York Mets.
That is true, too, yeah.
So
yeah, but I mean, like, have you ever seen those memes where it's like, there is one imposter among us, where it's like,
he's the imposter.
Come on.
It's like that one name that just doesn't belong. But Sean, it has to be because he's a new Boston Red Sox. It's a big signing, especially, you know, for them, and that they're making improvements. So, it's cool. It's just not expected.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, that does, you know, it does add up. It makes a little bit of sense. But the fact that he's above guys like Trout, he's like 3 or 4 above Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
I was like, what's going on? Like, I'm telling you, like, I did the biggest double take ever when I was reading that. I was like, oh, okay, like, you know, we got Lindor, Tatis, Kike Hernandez.
And like, you, I think you said it, like, there's guys like Xander Bogaerts and like even like Rafael Devers that you would think maybe they have some connection more with the fans, but that's crazy. Yeah. I didn't expect that. So
yeah, and then cool. You know, Noah, you know, I know you. I couldn't unfortunately watch most of that Yankee game as I had other priorities to take care of that wasn't too fond of that I had to do, but nevertheless, you got to do what you got to do. But what were your initial thoughts of the game? I caught the end of the game and I saw Judge, you know, one out, I think it was like bottom seventh, bases loaded, 2-2 count, ground out, double play, ends the inning, and that could have really left the door open. Gary had a good game, but everybody else was kind of just mediocre.
Yeah, I mean, he was the best player on the Yankees, and you could make an argument that he was the best player on the field. He threw a runner out, walked. He had a single, an infield single, but he was finding holes and then had a home run. He was awesome. I thought he looked, I don't know, he just looked motivated. Like, he looked like he wanted to be out there, and sometimes there are questions with that.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the team, I thought Glaber had really good at bats, I thought. Really working the count. I was really impressed with him because he had issues last season being, you know, there were questions about his health.
His eyesight and stuff. He'll bounce back.
So I think he's raring to go. I'm a little worried about DJ. I know it's early, but he just, like, three or four ground outs, you know, walked in the last inning. But
yeah.
Overall, I'm not too concerned. I thought Gerrit Cole pitched well. There's somebody else who usually comes on the show that made a post on Instagram.
Yeah, I told him I was too out. Yeah, I saw that.
Dom has reason to call me out because he complains about me not picking up the phone for him.
I complain too about that.
You guys both can complain, so we should hash this all out, and then me and you, Anthony, can complain about him saying with those like dumb like I don't want to.
It's like best pitcher in baseball.
B is capitalized, E isn't, S is capitalized, T isn't, you know, and best pitcher in baseball, like, because he gave up a home run in the first game of the season. I don't even understand that. I don't get it. I love Dom, but. We have to hash everything out. The calling, we'll have to hash out the call. I mean, that guy called me to tell, he's like, how you doing? I was like, I don't know. I'm doing stuff, Dom. I don't know. But yeah, so we got to me, Dom, and Anthony. Sean will mediate and be like, guys, calm down. We'll just, like,
yeah.
You know, that's the next show. Dom versus Noah and Anthony.
it's like a therapy session where we're just like, I just can't take that you said best pitcher of baseball when you were being sarcastic.
And I hate when you don't. Call me back.
No, start picking up your phone.
I'm like, guys, please. Civilized.
Sean becomes like Dr. Phil. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Sean is. Oh, that'd be funny.
We got to spend a segment on that.
We should. Well, I'll make note of that next week. We'll make a segment on that. But my thoughts, I mean, look, it was the first game. I think Gary looked good. If he continues this, it'll be great for us. And I think, look, I think it's, you know, it's the first game, you know, everyone needs to calm down a little bit. Was I upset? Yes. But, you know, they still got two more games, you know, hopefully, you know, they can, you know, pick it up. Hopefully Saturday, when you guys listen to this on Sunday, that they win on Saturday and that, you know, they could go for the series win. But, you know, I'm not too worried, you know. Again, we're 2-3 days into the season. It's not.
Kurt Stanton got booed like 3 times.
Yeah, people are just it's like a really love hate relationship with him. Like they'll cheer for him when he's hot, and then when he's cold, they can't stand it.
Yeah,
that's the problem with New York sports. Mm-hmm. You cannot win with New York. If you go on like this, really the shortest struggle or anything, like, you know, you're just, it's not going well for you. You're just going to get booed in any sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. You're right. And by the way, I get it. He's a DH. So you're expecting him to come up and hit, but like, it's the first game of the season. Like, calm down. Everyone calm down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's got some time. We've got 161 games left. Hopefully he finds his groove. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish up with this segment in segment 2, talking about the KD controversy with Michael Rapoport and get into this day in sports history. As on this day, 5 years ago, one of the most iconic NCAA championship games was played. And we'll talk about that more on the Sports Fever on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Rider University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today is Sean Johnson and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as...
Gooks. Oh, yes. Let's go, boys.
All right. So, obviously, segment 2 is all about this day in sports history, and we will get to that real quick. But before we do, we got to talk about the other topical news story of the week, and that was regarding Kevin Durant and Michael Rapoport. Michael Rapoport basically came out on Twitter and exposed Kevin Durant on some very explicit tweets that were exchanged between the two of them. This dates back to, I guess, a couple months ago when Kevin Durant was doing an interview on Inside the NBA with Charles Barkley after a Nets win. And Charles Barkley just asked him a question, and it was basically a yes or no question. And KD just said yes, or I forgot what his answer was, but he kind of just gave like a quick response and just moved on. Nothing crazy. Michael Rapoport then tweeted back and said, answer the question better, basically. Like, you know, give more detail and stuff like that. Stop being a prima donna. Then KD DM'd him privately and started going after him, really said some nasty things to him. And, you know, they kind of went back and forth. And then basically, you know, this past week or so, Rapoport basically blackmailed him and exposed the tweets to the public. You know, everyone got word of it. KD had to make a statement about it. And the NBA, in return, had to retaliate and fine him $50,000 for the way KD conducted himself. But basically, this is just blackmail by Michael Rapoport, just trying to get, you know, quick fame again. You know, he was kind of a big actor in the 90s. You know, he had a pretty big recurring role on Friends during season 5. He guest stars in a couple of sitcoms here and there. Noah, you mentioned he worked with Barstool for a little bit, and they obviously, you know, they had a big fallout. But this is kind of sad that someone like this would kind of just do that to Kevin. Now Kevin Durant is no fault getting a pass on this, as he should not have conducted himself the way he did, as he knows that the caliber star that he is and what this can do to, you know, his reputation. Because you have an image that, you know, that the public sees you as, and, you know, kind of tarnish that image a little bit, you know. So Noah, since you kind of know the whole story about it and everything, what were your initial thoughts when you heard about, you know, the story coming out and seeing the tweets and, you know, seeing what Rapoport and KD did? Because at the end of the day, both of these guys are at fault. Michael Rapoport basically, you know, exposing him, but Kevin Durant handling himself privately in that manner, and that should not be done.
Yeah, I mean, and Kevin Durant got a lot of crap because some of the stuff was homophobic that he said. So, you know, he's got to really take into account that, you know, you got to be careful what you say. And it's just not how you handle yourself. You know, you got to be respectful. And in a world as today where everything is in in the public sphere, you got to be really careful. And just this whole story, Michael Rappaport is such a loose cannon that you have to conduct yourself so carefully with that guy, because he really is one of these people who's a pot stirrer, and he gets involved. And then when people bring it to him, he gets very upset and he does all this stuff. So he's just one of those guys who he's kind of a weasel. I don't, you know, like Kevin Durant's just going about his thing and he's getting a hard time for Michael Rappaport. And to be fair, you got to be able to take that criticism, but it's one of those things where I get where KD's coming from. It's frustrating, but you just have to handle yourself with a little more class, because obviously both of you need to do it better. And I think Kevin Durant like threatened to meet him somewhere and like, let's talk, so it was just, it's a mess.
Yeah. I mean, Sean, you know, obviously, you know, Knicks fan, Kevin Durant was supposed to come to your team. Didn't happen. But, you know, based on like kind of what you've seen, are you kind of shocked that Kevin Durant handled himself the way he did, knowing like his reputation? He's kind of this calm demeanor kind of guy, kind of outside of the game, you know, inside the game, obviously he's calm, but you know, when stuff gets intense, you know, he can get into it. But that's with passion. But you know, did this shock you that you saw this side of Kevin Durant off the court?
Yeah, it definitely shocked me. And literally just in the beginning of the segment, I was just reading over like the entire DMs and what was said. I mean, it's bad, like bad to the point, like if we said it over the show, like we'd be taken down, like and never be able to.
The station would get fined if we said the stuff that was said in that tweet.
Yeah. One of the things.
We'd never be on a radio again. Yeah. Just one of them. Like if we said like all like, and I mean, Kevin Durant was going on and on, like just like tormenting Rappaport. Like Rappaport wasn't even responding and he was still going. So, I mean, I was definitely shocked a little bit. And I mean, we have like a little background on some Kevin Durant DMing, because our friend Chris, he's been on the show before. He was on the show last week, right?
Yeah, he was on the show last week. Yeah.
He's DM'd KD before, and they've gone back and forth, but like not like that though. Like KD was very respectful, and Chris was like coming at him. He was like, the latest DMing between the two was when Terry Rozier dunked on him in the beginning of the year, and everyone's like, oh, you got dunked on, KD, you want a dunk? And it was funny because the first time they ever DM'd, KD actually, the worst thing of the DMing that he said to Chris was that you don't read and comprehend.
He said that to him.
Yeah, they were just pretty much arguing about why he didn't go to the Knicks. It was like right when he went to the Nets. Mm-hmm. But like I said, nothing bad was said. That was the worst of the things. Like that's an inside joke among all of our friends. Like you don't read and comprehend. So that was funny. But that's why Chris actually hit him up the second time, because he said, oh, I don't need to read and comprehend to see that you got dunked on by Terry Rozier. And Kevin Durant responded again. He was like, oh yeah, it was actually a pretty good dunk, but don't worry, it fires me up, or something like that. Like what? I'd expect Kevin Durant to be like, oh, stop coming to me with this. Like, I'm a basketball player, I'm a superstar. But no, he was like humbled by it. It was weird. So to see him get that hurt by everything Rappaport was saying, and the way he went off on him in the DMs was, it was crazy.
I mean, can I just say something? I did not know this. I mean, I feel like he has 11.8 million followers. He's DMing Chris Witowski.
Multiple times.
I'm like, this is the biggest story, I think, of the week. This is bigger than that before. He's DMing 20-year-old from Rider University. I'm so happy for Chris. I don't even know what to say.
We were all shocked. We're like, wait, what? And we thought this was a joke. We literally thought it was a joke, and then like, wait, this is actually real.
You know how many DMs this guy probably gets a day?
A lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I DM'd the guy who won Big Brother, 50,000 followers. You know what he said to me back? Nothing. He didn't message me. He don't care what I gotta say. I can't believe this.
Like I'll DM Justin Timberlake. Now granted, he's got I think like 52 million followers, so you know, I'm not gonna get a response from him.
No, But you wouldn't think 11.8 is a ton of followers. And you wouldn't, I'm shocked that he, like, I'm impressed. And Sean, like, how you made it seem like it seemed pretty cordial, even if Chris was giving him a hard time. So,
yeah,
I don't know. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was pretty dope. But real quick, before we end this segment, you know, this day in sports history, just give our quick thoughts on it. 5 years ago on this day, UNC versus Villanova for the championship in 2016. It ended off of a crazy buzzer beater by Chris Jenkins. And, it goes down as one of the greatest championship games of all time because it was a back and forth game. UNC looked to have, tied the game, and they took momentum. And I think there was only like a couple seconds left on the clock. Villanova, I don't think has any more timeouts. They have to get off the court, and, I forget who the point guard was at the time, but he just does a quick right pass to Jenkins, spots up, shoots the three, gets it in, buzzer horn goes off, and they win the whole thing. And it was crazy because Michael Jordan was there at that game. He gave a speech before, everyone was really getting into it. The whole game was, back and forth. It was really high intense game, and, it ended like that. So real quick, how much of that game do you guys remember? And what were your initial thoughts, during that game based on how much you remember? Noah, I'll start with you.
Well, I mean, I actually don't remember much. I don't even know if I watched that game. I don't remember, but, anytime you get a moment like that, it's one of those things where it's just, it lives in infamy, or, it's so cool to look back and say, I saw that. And I don't remember. And the other thing is, Roy Williams was coaching UNC. He just retired. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he got lucky, though. He won the next year. UNC beat, I think, Gonzaga. So, but it's one of the all-time shots. And I think in college history, in even 5-10 more years, we'll look back at it and say that's just as special a moment. So,
yeah,
really cool.
Yeah. So, Sean, does this rank up with, like, the Christian Laettner shots, trying to think, who was the team that Jimmy V coached for? They won it in like 83.
Cut down the net.
Was it UNLV?
Yes, UNLV. That shot where they missed the three and he literally just grabs it, tips it up, they win it.
I think that was in the Final Four though. But
no,
that was huge.
I think that was Final Four.
Was it?
I feel like it, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
I just know it was definitely one of the two. It was that or the championship. Because weren't they playing? Because Patrick, who was it? I think it was Akeem or Patrick Ewing. They were
Houston.
Yeah.
I think you might be right. I think they were playing. I can look it up.
Yeah. Yeah, but Sean, do you think that ranks up with those big shots? Because those were all-time iconic shots in college history. Does that go up there with that?
I think that was one of the best buzzer beaters ever. Let alone it was in the final. I mean, that's just crazy. But, it was a deep three that, I didn't really watch much. Real quick, here's something that's going to shock you guys. I have never seen a championship game. I've never watched one, not a second of one.
Wow.
Yeah. So I remember I was in bed because it was really late.
Yeah. It was like a 9:30 game. Yeah. It was really late.
Yeah. It was late. I remember getting all the notifications. Like everyone's like freaking out. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that was tonight. I'm like, what happened? And it was just like a crazy buzzer beater. And it's like, oh, maybe I should be watching these games. But yeah, it definitely ranks up there. I think it's number one.
It could go like one, two, or three based on those other two I just mentioned. But no, real quick, did you look that up? Was it the final? What was it before we go to break?
I think it was NC State, but I don't know what game it was. When we come back from break, we can kind of, if we want to.
This up. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the third segment, which is the game of the week. And what is the game of the week? You'll find on the next segment, as well as we'll get confirmation on whether or not the UNLV game, Buzz Beater, was in the Final Four in 1983, or in the championship. You'll find that on the Sports Fever on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com live from the Rider University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Sean Johnson and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as
Googs. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening.
And good night. So this segment, game of the week, since it's baseball season is upon us, it's totally fair that we do talk about a baseball game that we're looking forward to, one that we believe will be a great game to watch. And this is kind of a coincidence. It's going to be the Mets-Phillies that we're going to talk about that we believe will be the game of the week. It'll be their first game of the season due to their first series that was supposed to happen, them facing the Nationals, was postponed due to the National players contracting the coronavirus. So they will be facing the Phillies for their first game on April 5th. Pitching matchup is going to be Jacob DeGrom, the best pitcher in baseball. I do have to admit that. I feel like he's a tad bit better than Gerrit Cole. Versus Matt Moore of the Phillies. Matt Moore was a former prospect of the Rays. He was a really touted prospect, was supposed to be the next big superstar pitcher. Hasn't really panned out. He kind of bounced around here and there. Hasn't really found his group. But, hopefully with this Phillies team led by Noah and I's old manager, Joe Girardi, they can make some noise. And this is a big matchup, NL East matchup. These two teams are going to be duking it out, along with probably the Braves as well, for the NL East crown. Sean, I'll start with you. Who do you like in this game? And, going forward between these two teams, what do you think is going to transpire with this year? Is this going to be the start of like a big rivalry that we're going to see throughout the 2021 season?
I'm kind of stuck on who I want to go with. I'm definitely excited to watch the Mets this season. As we saw, they've made a lot of upgrades, including Lindor. Who we didn't really talk about with his contract.
And it kind of worked because that's what we'll probably talk about since we are on the Met topic.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like they still kind of need like one or two more pieces for the long run, obviously. But just for this game alone, I'm going to go with the Mets.
Okay. Noah?
Yeah, I like the Mets too. I wanted to kind of look up the Mets projected starting lineup because we're not sure, obviously, with the COVID stuff. And it looks really good. Nimmo to lead off, Francisco Lindor, Conforto, Alonso, Dominic Smith, who I think I always talk about him. But
underrated yeah. player.
And the only reason a couple seasons ago he wasn't getting playing time is because he's an outfielder and they were kind of bunched up all there and he was kind of playing first at times. There's no DH. So that's another issue I think we all might agree with. I know Dom definitely does, that I really think they need to implement the universal DH. That's just personally me. But and then Jeff McNeil, who he didn't have as great a season last year, but he's kind of similar to DJ LeMahieu as that contact hitter that I think can really add something. And JD Davis, James McCann, their new signing. So I think the lineup itself, I do agree with Sean. I think they could get another piece here or there that could really round them out. But we'll see what DeGrom's able to do this season. Marcus Stroman but I like this team and I think they'll beat the Phillies. I think the Phillies are one of those teams that kind of is just
they're hit or miss.
Yes, so I think that the Mets will be good, and if they can get off to a good start the momentum after losing those three games. I mean, because now they got to play catch up, which sucks for them. Your team's gonna probably have to deal with it at some point with COVID. So.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is gonna be an interesting matchup. I would say don't sleep on that Phillies offense, because if they get going, they could be dangerous. But I'll give it slightly to the Mets due to the pitching that they have. The Phillies pitching, other than Nola and Wheeler, it takes a really big downward spiral after those two guys, and their bullpen I don't think is really up to par. So I'm going to give it to the Mets on this one. And a matter of fact, you know, you guys talk about how excited you guys are to see them play. I am too, solely because of the Subway Series. I feel like that's going to revive that whole rivalry with us in general. And it's going to really make it something to watch for this summer. And then, you know, to transition, Francisco Lindor signed a massive 10-year deal, $341 million, reported by Jeff Passan this past week. He reported at 11 o'clock that there was nowhere near a deal to be done. It wasn't close. It wasn't possible. 20 minutes later, oh, they reached an agreement. I'm like, yeah. Okay. Like, how does that happen in 30 minutes?
Yeah.
I'm like, are you really an insider or are you not? So anyway.
And can I just say, I like him because I think he's good about releasing information. Sometimes though, sometimes these people in sports media, they're very arrogant about that kind of thing. Like I saw something where this guy reported on a story and it was wrong, but he's like, don't believe these people that have no credibility and always get things wrong. It's just like calm down, dude. We understand you're the MLB guy. Like, you don't have to crap on other people. I don't know. Just bothers me.
Yeah, but yeah, I know, I get it, because once you get that, because it's kind of like, because I don't even know how they kind of get that role or like how it's given to them and yeah. stuff like that, or where they, like how do they have these connections and whatever, and yeah, and yeah, yeah. They do get a big head because it's kind of like everyone's like, oh, they're the go-to guy for information. Yeah. But yeah, look, you're not perfect. Everyone's imperfect, and they're gonna mess up.
Exactly.
So, but you know, Lindor gets a massive deal, kind of locks him up. You know, he's going to be the face of this franchise for the next 10 years. People thought it was going to be Pete Alonso, but now it's kind of Lindor. You know, Sean, I'll start with you. The Lindor happy-go-lucky guy, the polar bear. You know, who do you think is going to be in the long run? And I think I'm already going to know your answer, but you could just tell me it anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be Lindor every 10 out of 10 times. I mean, we've seen Lindor. He's been consistent throughout his career. He's been very good, and he's also a switch hitter, which is definitely really big for a team. And Pete Alonso, he's kind of a guy like, you know, who you're going to expect to have ups and downs. Like, you know, he's just mainly a big power hitter. You know, he's going to get a lot of strikeouts. I believe his defense isn't the greatest, but, you know, he's just there for one thing, to just put the ball over the fence pretty much for his power hitting. And I mean, we saw it literally, it happened within a season for him, which is pretty crazy. You don't really see that a lot. You usually see like some great hitting from these guys for like a few years and then they fall off a little bit. But I mean, he went from breaking the rookie home run record to having like not a terrible season last season.
But a really down year, a really down year.
Yeah. I mean, like guys like Miguel Sano, he's a great example of that. Like, he had a few really good hitting seasons, and then he just fell off. Chris Davis, the Angels, or not Angels, I'm sorry, A's. Athletics, Chris Davis, yeah. Yeah, like, you know, he falls under that category. And, I mean, if he doesn't have a good season here, he might have one of the quickest fall-offs of a player of that caliber ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you know, no, I'll go to you with this question. You know, another $300+ million contract for 10 years. Now I know he's, you know, in his mid early 20s, 25, 26. It's a lot of money though that they're giving away. You know, do you like that these young guys are getting this kind of money this early on, or do you think there's like kind of this added pressure that like, all right, you got to produce, or does it kind of relax them saying, all right, I'm locked up for the next 10 years, and I know we're going to be playing each and every day, and I can just go out and just do my thing?
I think it definitely depends on the person. And I think it's a great question. I get nervous for them. You know, people like Garrett Cole and these big players, big time players, you know that they have the ability. It just sometimes it's too much on them, you know, and it's a lot of money to expect somebody to play for. And it's awesome for him that he's getting this money. He's 27 years old. Like, he's right about entering his prime, if not like he is like in the midst of it, and he's probably got 4 or 5 years of just if he can continue this of mashing. And you guys are right, he didn't have a great season. He wasn't really the guy in the playoffs against the Yankees in that series. I don't think the Yankees were really worried about him just because of how he was.
We were worried about Edwin in that series, and he went down.
And Naylor, Josh Naylor, right? That guy who just, I mean, who is he? He went crazy.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, so I just think that he needs to understand he adds something to this lineup, and he's hitting in front of Michael Conforto, who I think is primed and ready for a really good season. I think he's got good power, and I really like his game. I really like him, and I think he just adds that extra element to that offense that has a little power, can put the ball in play, but he needs to have a better average season. And I'm wondering how he'll be with in Citi Field with the sanction, or you know, with the the fee and all that. I don't know if it's too much, or I don't know, compared to Progressive Field with the Indians, I don't know how it compares, but I think he'll figure it out. And that money is a lot of pressure, but I think he's somebody that has a great attitude for the game, and he's somebody who can do it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, look, there's the New York pressure. You know, this is going to be a test of whether he can handle it. And if he can, it's just a matter of just him living up to the contract. Now, when he's around the eighth, ninth year of that deal, will it start to wane on the team and the fans? Sure. But, you know, if they have a couple winning seasons, if they turn it around, if they win a championship, it'll be a positive signing for them. As I see Sean Johnson raises his hand in the chat. What's up, Sean?
Yeah. He pulled a Chris.
I was gonna say I was pulling the Chris. kind of to build off a real quick to build off of what Noah was saying, and this is me going back to something that I said years ago. Players playing under a contract, you know, they feel a little bit better, they'll start performing earlier. I have to say, I was very wrong about Machado and Harper. I remember we talked about it a lot on the show because they were both getting some huge contracts, and I was not all for that. And they showed me up. They're both like two of the best players in the league right now under their contract.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Harper's starting to figure it out, and Machado from day one has just, you know, started going nuts. I think at the end of the day, it's just about when. It's not about like. Yes, it's about who, but it's also the timing which you give it to them. Because if you give it around, it's usually around like when they're in their 20s, you want to give it to them. I think the 30-year-old 10-year deals are kind of over and done with, thanks to Albert Pujols and Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, it's a good signing for them. Hopefully, it pays out in the long run. If they win a championship, if they are contenders for a really long time. It's a win-win for both parties, so it'll be good. But we got to take a quick break. But before we do, we just want to make a quick note. We did talk about in the second segment about, you know, the Jimmy V, you know, buzzer beater shot. It wasn't the championship game. It wasn't UNLV that he coached for. It was NC State, and it was against Houston in the championship game in 1983. So we just want to clear that up and confirm that with everybody. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, it's going to be our lock of the day. And, you know, since it's opening weekend, it's going to be baseball. What is it? You'll find out only on the Sports Fever on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com live from the Ryder University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Sean Johnson and No Gugliotta, or otherwise known as
Gooks. Final segment, let's go.
Final segment, that means it's lock of the day, and we have two, or I should say three locks. We're going to add a new lock to the day because it's baseball season. There's this fun, free betting app that you guys can use, Beat the Streak. It's free. You can download it on your mobile devices. And it's a fun way for people to get, more into the game. What it basically is if, you know, for all you baseball fans out there, obviously people remember the iconic Joe DiMaggio record of his 56-game hit streak that still has not been broken since he accomplished it. And, you know, there's this app where you pick each day for a player to get a hit, and the goal is to consistently pick one every day until you reach 56, and if you do, you win the grand prize. I think it's like $5.6 million.
But
it's not as easy as people think it is, because like, oh, I just gotta pick a player to get a hit. Yeah, but like, you know, you can't just pick the superstars all the time. You can't pick like Judge or Trout or, you know, Harper all the time, or else they're gonna, you know, they might have an off day where they go 0-3. You know, you gotta find, you know, maybe some underdogs or some people that you don't think are going to get hit but will, or some like bench players that, you know, somehow might have a great game. So it's really kind of like, you know, not overpicking players and really finding some diamonds in the rough. So download it. It's fun. It's free to play. And we, for today, Sunday, we are all picking Bryce Harper to get a hit today. So Bryce Harper, do us a solid, get a base hit, and start our streak with a solid one hit. And exactly. For our lock of the day, again, still sticking with baseball, it's going to be a parlay, money line, Yankees and the Red Sox. Yankees have Domingo Germán on the mound today against the Blue Jays. And, you know, we're picking the Red Sox, obviously, you know, Sean's the Red Sox fan, and you know, they're facing the Orioles. I know their first game against them, it was a rough one, they lost, but I do think that, you know, they'll come back and they'll win, today, and you know, and they'll take the series, you know, I think they'll take the series, and, you know, they'll get the ball rolling on their season. Cause I feel like they'll be a formidable team, going forward, in this season, because, yeah, I don't know what I'm saying, but
I just want to explain it this way. We're picking Bryce Harper because I think we've been pretty critical on this show specifically of that guy.
You have been.
Me, I have been a lot. Sean has, and I think Dom has as well.
I know Dom has been very critical of him because of.
Yeah. I mean,
Dom's very critical of everybody, though.
So. Overrated. It calls everybody overrated.
He started a podcast called Overrated. He'd have a million viewers in a second. That guy, especially early on when we used to do these shows, he would say it all the time. And Anthony and Sean would look at each other and be like, he said it again. But next week when we do this like sit down interview between all four of us and we just air our grievances with each other about me not picking up the phone. I mean, we're going in. Like, we're going in. But anyways, like, that's for Bryce Harper. And the Yankees, Red Sox, listen, we are pretty respectful of each other. You know, with the Yankees, Red Sox, I respect Sean. I think he's a good fan. And I think he respects me and Anthony as not annoying Yankee fans as some people can be. Mm-hmm. So we want right, Sean? Am I?
Yeah.
You're right. You guys are definitely the better Yankees fans.
Yeah. I mean, it's not saying much because some Yankee fans, I can see where people get, you know.
Just be like, I can't stay. Yeah.
I've had my run-ins with some bad Yankees fans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anthony was there.
I was there. Yeah. I was there for one of them.
Oh, was that a game?
It was at a game. Yeah, they were so obnoxious. I was annoyed at them. I was like, guys, like, chill out. People were leaving their seats because of these guys. I was like, oh, my God.
That's like the, you know, the Cliff Lee's wife was at a game, and they were, like, yelling names at her, and he's like, I'm not going there. Like, how stupid can you be? Mm-hmm. But anyway, we just are trying to come together for this bet and try to give a Red Sox Yankees bet, come together, let's get a win together for the unit, because later on in the season we're going to be fighting a lot. So
you know what, our first matchup against each other, I hope we both win.
I hope it's a tie and
we can both wins. Yeah, I like that.
Oh my God, that'd be crazy, but unfortunately that would never happen. One's gonna walk away winner, the other one's gonna walk away a loser. But I think this is gonna do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. We thank you guys for tuning in. It's been a great show. If you want to catch up on Instagram, social media stuff, you can. Instagram, @thesports_fever, Twitter handle, @thesportsfever1, and you can give us an email, thesportsfever@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us. Be sure to check out us next week, same time, 12 o'clock on 107.7 The Bronx, and at 1 o'clock on all podcasting platforms. Until next week, guys, have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes Sundays from 12 to 1 on 107.7 The Bronx, and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.